When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Well, 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 my friends, here we are again in front of the Yule log with another holiday message for all of you who love me and all of you who hate me as much as you do. You didn't really think that I would let an occasion such as the New Year pass by without another odd message, incriminating myself and cackling as I retreat into the fire, did you? Now, maybe you think it's reckless for an actor once beloved, now disgraced, to continue to dig a hole deeper and deeper, but did you think that maybe digging a deeper hole for himself is a way of digging out? Have you ever imagined an actor who couldn't get off stage and didn't have a desire to, but just decided to keep publicly digging himself deeper and deeper and deeper, and maybe digging that deep hole from the stage itself is the only way he's going to get out of this mess? Did you ever consider that? Here, as we celebrate the turning of this planet around one more time, in the year 2020. My dear friends, you may be shocked and appalled to know that I've recently visited an optometrist. That's right. I've recently visited an optometrist and had my eyes checked out, and what do you know? My vision is clearer than ever before. 2020. Perfect at any distance. And you don't believe me? Here's the proof. I'll read this eye chart from across the room here in this ominous study slash kitchen in an open floor plan where I always record these intimate messages for you, the audience, the mind of God, Mephistopheles. I'm covering one eye and I'm looking at the chart right now, and you'll see exactly how good my vision is. The first letter Z. You saw that coming, didn't you? And now the next line. I see a P and I see an S. Oh, but it's not a postscript, because I go to the next line, the third line, and I see very, very clearly, without any adjustment needed in the lenses whatsoever, I see a T and an E and an I. And you'll notice that if you look closely, there's no contact lenses either, and there's never been LASIK surgery on these ocular organs that occupy the sockets in my skull. And then on the fourth line, I drop down and I see NDID. No adjustment in the lenses whatsoever necessary. And I drop down to the fifth line and the letters pop out with a meaning and a purpose that I know to be my destiny. N-T-K-I-L. And then I drop down to the final line of this eye chart, and these letters seal the message for me. L-H-I-M-S-E-L-F. The message is clear. Those of you who understand it, it has been delivered. You now know your instructions. So as my vision is clear, let your understanding be perfect. Or, as was perhaps better said by an old friend of mine, Kaiser Soze, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Who are they? Who indeed are these? Shunned by society, forbidden from the walls of the sacred castles. They were the sonorous outcast scions of a doomed civilization. They lived among us. They walked at night. They were the underculture. The underculture. The underculture. They were the underculture. They were the underculture.
Well, happy new year. Welcome back. It is the underculture. This is our first new episode of 2020. Everybody's been so relieved that the year can be pronounced easier. Oh, it's 2020. It's the 20s. It's not 20-aught. It's not any of that. I want to try to complicate it again. I think we should call it 20-aught-20. But here we are. It's the new year. It's the new us. The same bullshit as before. This is episode 37 of the underculture, which you're listening to. It's probably printed on the it's printed on the title screen. I don't know how podcasts work. This is episode 37 of the underculture. That was usually we have unauthorized recordings that are leaked to us. That was just, we grabbed that from the open internet. That was a message from Kevin Spacey that was his Happy New Year message. We got it here. Kevin Spacey lashed to his professional career, beckoning us all to join him. Wow, I should have done that in the actual, in the sketch we recorded. Anyway, this is the underculture, the premise of the show, which I will abandon later on. The premise of the show is that it's kind of like a public service. It's like an audio version of WikiLeaks. We get materials, recordings that are leaked to us, usually audio, but once in a while video, which you could see on our Patreon page, patreon.com/theunderculture. But we do this as a public service, and of course, legally for legal indemnification. This is all satire. But we obtain this through a network of back channels and moles that we have in various presidential campaigns and various political organizations, government organizations, NGOs, corporate power structures. We have people very close to a lot of big, big figures in the world today. And we also get some stuff from archives, from studio archives, from private vaults. And so we have stuff from the past from time to time. And today we've got something huge and maybe terrifying. It's a little bit off-putting. We have an unauthorized recording. This is actually something that was recorded in real life. It wasn't recorded as a recording. It's a recording from a security system. There was an unauthorized entry to a townhouse in Washington, D.C. And this is this is great because we've had both of these. I think we've had both of these political figures featured on the underculture before in the context of one leak or another, but this is the first time that we've had them both together on the same recording. And this is kind of amazing because they're from opposite sides of the political conversation and they're not friends with each other, but this was recorded. This was an unplanned, unexpected, unauthorized, maybe probably illegal, certainly unethical on the part of one of the participants, a meeting between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. I wouldn't call it a meeting. It was, you'll hear it. Here today on the underculture, it's the underculture versus Trump versus Bernie. Here we go. Take it away. I can't, you know what? We shouldn't have this, but God damn it, somehow we do. Take it away, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump.
Coffee here or something. Pulp percent of decaffeinated coffee tastes like rusty dirt. What the?
Whoops.
Whoa.
I was hiding behind your cream.
What are you doing in this house, Trump?
Be quiet.
Don't touch me.
Keep your mouth shut.
Don't touch, I'll bite you.
No. Ow! Don't.
God, why are you in my townhouse in Washington, D.C.?
Listen to me. This is just like the Bourne identity. Be quiet. Trust me, you're the sweet ingenue, and I'm the tough born who's, I'm the tough born guy who's hiding in the shadows, hiding in your refrigerator.
I don't go with your analogy on the Bourne identity business because I didn't like how they kept the pun from the original title going in the later versions and sequels when the pun no longer worked.
The Bourne supremacy.
That's not a known phrase.
The Bourne legitimacy.
Why are you in my house, because Donald Trump?
Bernie, you know what? You and I are the closest of friends.
We've barely met. We've only met in hostility before, except for a brief balloon event that happened.
Yeah, remember that when we wanted to see
what Trump
space?
Ski resort in Vermont that is now closed.
Yeah, remember that? We went so high. We were like the Aeronauts. They made the movie Aeronauts based on us. We want to go up into space and we want to see it with a big balloon. And you and I, we brought our wine and our cheese.
No, none of this. I was kidnapped in a basket balloon.
Yeah.
And you tried to take me to the land of Oz, which turned out to be upstate New York, Schenectady.
Of course. Well, they used to have a yellow brick road because I pissed all over it all the time.
Donald, it is 5:30 in the morning. You are in my townhouse. How did you get in here?
I have every president, and you might have to learn this, every president. Are you drinking honey straight from the bottle?
I'm drinking honey straight from the bottle, and it has no effect. I sound like I've never drunk water or even taken minimal care of my vocal cords my entire life.
Wow, that's sweet. Now listen to me. So, every president...
You know, I shred financial documents from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and I goggle that.
Really?
I put it in apple cider vinegar and that's what I goggle.
I shred public toilets like they're going out of style.
How did you get it on my townhouse?
Every president since Harry S.T. Truman has received something called...
You're confusing him with Hunter S. Thompson.
No, that's the same guy. And he goes, I'm going to report on Nixon. He's doing so many drugs. I love football. Now, here's the point. Every president since Harry S.T.D. Truman has received something called a skeleton key. It's a skeleton key made of the bones of George Washington, his discarded extra bones, and it allows the president to access any lock in the entire United States, including your beautiful multi-million-dollar townhouse.
You caught me here in my kitchen at 5:30 in the morning. I am in my slippers, I am in my nightgown, and I have my floppy Ebenezer Scrooge hat on. And I came down here with a little candle on a little tray, like a little candle tray, and lo, to my great surprise, Trump should disrupt me at the bottom of the stairs.
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Christmas is long over.
Exactly.
It's
Christmas
mid-January
past.
And I am, look.
That's what I'm saying. Christmas past and I'm the ghost. Past Christmas.
I understand what you're saying. It has nothing to do with Christmas. It is mid-January. We are long past the events of the solstice, the Saturnalia, the Christmas, or whatever the holidays you're celebrating. I am about to vote for impeachment.
Could you stop gesticulating against my very hard, duty-filled belly? Because it's really loud.
Well, you came into my house.
Don't worry about it. My skin heals like The Witcher on Netflix. So, first off, let me...
I actually have healing capabilities that are similar to the Predator, except they are only useful in healing a broken fabric of a criminal justice system or a society that has gone off the rails.
I have spit that's acidic like the alien, and I could push my dentures out like an extra set of teeth. Now...
I understand that you were born from your
identity?
Mother. Well, God, there you go again with that Matt Damon horseshit!
He was incredible, but I like the one with the
he
other guy.
He was incredible when he was a pinup boy on the front covers of all the magazines in 1999. Since then, it's been a downward slope.
Oh, I love Teen Beat. You know what I mean? Always loved Teen Beat. I was like the instructions
Donald,
right
save
on the
it
magazine.
For the debate stage.
The instructions right on the magazine. Teen Beat, and you know what else?
I don't know if you were planning to have some kind of 1960s baby elephant walking through a bubble bath Peter Sellers party in my townhouse, but I will not tolerate anything like that until I'm president and I go out of town for a weekend and come back early.
Well, I'm much like Peter Sellers in the party in that I'm already painted up brown.
No.
I just haven't done the Desi accent yet.
You racist fuck. You know, you understand. Look, I'm voting for impeachment this week. I know. It's not going to work. But we are going to get rid of you in November.
But Bernie,
we're going to do it the right way. We're going to get rid of you on policy, not whatever this is.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Face me on the battlefield. I don't understand
this
impeachment.
I'm not Marianne Williamson, in case you're confused.
What? Wait a minute. Marianne Williamson.
She dropped out. You thought I was Marianne Williamson?
Very briefly. I love Marianne Williamson because she was one of the best girlfriends that Jack had on Three's Company.
I don't do any of the New Age stuff. The only crystals I have are Folger's crystals.
That's right.
Folger's crystals.
Yeah.
By the way, you're here. Let me make some instant coffee. It's decaf. Decaf Folger's crystals. That's as close as I get to Marianne Williamson. And also, when I do tarot, the only card I pull up over and over and over and over again is the Hermit. The Hermit, the Hermit, the Hermit, the Hermit, the Hermit. That's always been every tarot reading that I've ever had.
I get the Fool, the World, and then the Six of Diamonds.
I think if I was going to pull a card to cross that, it would be probably the Tower with all the people falling off.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. 9/11, right? Once that thing fell down, my building was the biggest in the world. Now,
making a coffee for you under protest. Look, you don't belong here, and I'm not inviting you in.
I'm already
in. But if you're
here
to reach across the aisle, I do have a strange fetish for reaching across the aisle.
Yeah, teen beat, right? Now, let me explain something to you.
I reach across the aisle to the Republicans, and I also reach across the aisle to my own body, the Democrats, which I'm not among.
Whoa, this is like the cover of triple dicking... Volume 7.
You had to go there.
Where
look,
Bernie's holding two on either side, and we know we're going to get a huge spray of bipartisanship in the middle.
Yes, but you've clearly photoshopped that from me grabbing onto two disparate parts of our broken body politic, two members of our Democratic family, and I'm trying to bring them together in the interest of Democratic revolution. You've clearly photoshopped.
Well, if Kamala Harris can do such a great job photoshopping, why can't I?
I don't know the reference. What did she Photoshop?
There's the picture when Nancy Pelosi...
When I talk about Photoshop, I mean my little scrapbook room.
Oh.
I've got a little Photoshop. It's out in the shed.
You mean you got an actual red room?
It's not a red room.
Red room! Red room! Red room!
Look, I could develop photographs if I want to, but I can also go out there and just... take the little safety scissors and you cut around the little flowers and you put it in a little scrapbook.
That's called collage, you idiot. That's not photoshopping.
Talking about, you're from New York. I don't care how you do it in Queens. In Brooklyn, it's called a scrapbook. And I carry that tradition to Vermont very proudly.
In Queens?
Along with refusing to turn right on red lights.
Now, let me tell you something. First off, we do collage in Queens. Like Queens.
I hold up the traffic in Burlington. Ridiculously, because I adhere to New York City traffic rules.
But they are...
I drive around Burlington honking everywhere.
Why?
I'm a New Yorker!
First off, they have some of the most comfortable flannels you'll ever find at Burlington Flannel in Burlington, Vermont.
I know.
They're
I know.
Incredible like pajama pants.
They're a little bit out of my price range, but I know they're very good flannels.
Well, I brought you three. I brought you three, Bernie.
Why did you break into my townhouse to bring me gifts?
Emoliumus.
What?
Emoliumus.
Donald, it sounds like you...
No.
Donald, your words are not coming out right.
I'm emoliumus, Claus.
Emoliumus, but the way you said it...
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
It's showtime!
I'm the ghost of Christmas past and I'm Emoluments Claus.
You're not the ghost of Christmas, not the bullshit, because I can touch your tummy right
ow!
Now.
Wow.
I will outlaw fat shaming when I am president of the United States. But Donald, you're a real fat fuck.
Hey, now watch it. I'll tell everybody why I finally went to the Cornell West Hospital that day.
That's not...
What was it?
You're mixing up your Cornell.
Walter Reed, Christopher Reeves Medical Center. where you come in walking and you leave bald in the wheelchair.
Okay, how did you get from Cornell West to Walter Reed? There's a W in there? That's it? That's the connection?
Yeah. Now, here's the point. Everyone goes, this guy had a stroke. This guy had a mini stroke. First off, let me tell you, I don't have any mini strokes. If I have a stroke, it's a big one. Number two, they said, you have a stroke, you had two strokes. I go, that's great. Two strokes and a par five, you're still, that's an eagle. So as far as I was
Donald,
concerned.
The presidency is not a golf course.
Of course it is. Are you kidding me? First off, the White House is an incredible green. And once I mowed down that stupid Michelle Obama, I'm working with my big arms garden. I put a beautiful putting green there.
Well, then let me say this. Do you mind if I play through? Never mind. I'm playing through no matter what. We're doing a working class version of it. We're playing through with mini golf. And guess what? We paid a very small ticket price on a Tuesday because that's when working class people can afford to go to mini golf. And we are mini golfing through your large golf resort game.
You're the Bob No Hope of golf, let me tell you that, okay? No hope, buddy. Not hope. Bob No Hope. Not a chance in hell.
You know, in the annals...
What?
In the annals of world puns, that ranks among the worst.
First
the
off...
Bob No Hope.
Bob No
Hope. First of all, there's no connection, because if the pun weren't there... There would be nothing connecting me to Bob Hope. He's
no.
a bad guy. I don't even like the Burbank Airport.
Bob Hope was an incredible golfer. And he says,
he made all of his money.
Like us, in Spies Like Us, he makes a cameo where he goes into the tent and he goes, mind if I played through? And everyone goes, whoa, Bob Hope, who the hell is that? And that was in 1981.
Okay, so that's very obscure. 1981, I was nearing retirement age at the time, which is when I really started going in my life.
That's true.
For me, reaching retirement age was the age at when I went, hey, I think I'm going to do something. You remind me more of Bob Hope because he made all of his money off of interning a minority group. In fact, the Japanese Americans during World War II.
Sure.
This is little known fact about Bob Hope outside of anyone who will tell you in California. All of his money was made from snapping up real estate that was confiscated from Japanese Americans.
Yeah, but if that wasn't the case, we'd never have Star Trek's Sulu. Without George Takei going into that Japanese internment camp, he would have never had the motivation to pursue his dream of becoming the navigator on the Enterprise.
This is a racist and disingenuous argument, but I'm glad that you made it, because it reveals something destructive about the right-wing mindset, which is that the evil that we do causes good in the long run. Donald, just because there is a balance of tremendous evil in this world being digested by good bacteria into something useful for society.
In the garden of good and evil.
Doesn't mean that we should keep encouraging the evil behavior. What you're doing is wrong, and we're going to stop you, and we're going to teach a lesson to future generations that if you do evil things like what you're doing, or what, you know, happened to the Japanese Americans in California, what you're doing now on the border.
Right.
If you do this, the meek shall rise and inherit the earth. That is what is happening.
Right. You just made my point.
You're the Antichrist.
No.
I am the meek inheriting the earth.
First off, the meek, you're talking about the people in the detention centers. They're meek, and they're going to inherit the earth in Earth 2, Gene Roddenberry's Earth 2 reboot. Think of all the young stars of new Star Trek franchises that we're creating right now by stuffing them in detention centers and wrapping them in tinfoil like little Mexican baked potatoes.
You racist fuck. You know what I'm going to do? Because of your racism, I'm going to make sure that you are shamed out of this country when I take office. You are going to be forced to leave this country, and we're going to make sure that you are exiled to a fire island down in the Bahamas somewhere.
Well, fire and island, all right.
Yeah,
I like
fire
that.
Fest. It'll be the fire fest.
Oh, I thought you meant fire island. I
said
was
it wrong.
Like, okay.
I said it.
Give me those twink boys. Let's get busy.
Donald, you cannot just suddenly claim a capricious sexual identity just to fulfill a momentary fantasy that, based on someone's verbal slip of the tongue.
No, I'm LGBTQ now.
No, you're not. You're
yes.
just T for Trump.
Whoa.
I am going to exile you to Firefest Island like Napoleon in St. Helena.
First off, Napoleon was in St. Helena for quite a while.
And you're going to be poisoned by your own fat.
She got a yeast infection because of it. I mean... Napoleon was in her for so long, she got toxic shock.
Disgusting. I was a fan. Jane and I were tremendous fans of the Armand de Sante miniseries.
I love
Napoleon and Josephine.
Who doesn't love Armand Asante? Another place where we agree. First off, Bernie, I gotta tell
you. Look, the coffee's up. Here's the decaf folders. That's all I got.
Do you have any cream, or should I make my own?
And by the way, if you think that this... If you think this volume would normally wake Jane up, she's used to me having vigorous debates with myself at this hour when I wake up.
Oh, that's what you call around. It? I don't think I've ever seen you and Jane in the same room.
Shut up!
Now listen to
me. I've only seen you and your wife when she's slapping your hand away from her.
Okay, first off, that's the fake one. Fake Melania won't let me touch your hand.
Donald, when I am president and you are out of this country, exiled on the Firefest Island, we are going to politely question Melania, and she's going to flip against you and turn all kinds of evidence, so you'll never be able to come back. And that,
no.
And if you do come back, we're at the border, we'll detain you, and we... Look, we're going to have all of the structures you've built to oppress...
An incredible wall, one of the great walls.
Latino Americans entering this country, Latinos, some people, migrants entering this country.
Secret Saudis.
We will turn that infrastructure against you... Oh, as an ethnicity of one, Trump, and we will oppress you should you re-enter the country after you leave office and you're exiled to the Firefest.
First off, I'm going to leave before you exile me, and I'm going to escape to Colombia. And there, I'm going to hop on a little bus, and I'm going to be riding along, and then it's going to break down. And then people are going to come out from the thing, they're going to be shooting at me because they're drug hunters. But then this sexy guy, Michael Douglas, is going to rescue me, and we're going to slide down a mudslide. And then he's going to go, let's smoke some pot. And I'm going to be like, I'm a famous female author.
I've got a different Michael Douglas movie that's going to be more accurate. What's going to happen after you leave the presidency is you are going to...
Disclosure?
Enter a paranoid state. Where you realize that everyone close to you has only been there playing a part, that they are really out to get you, and there will be a big reveal that it was a giant construction that no one in your life, not even your children, not even your adult children, your young children, not even any of your wives, not even your trusted aides, none of them support what you're doing. It's going to look like the game.
Jewel
of
the
Nile. One of the worst Michael Douglas movies that were ever made, but also the accurate portrayal of what Donald Trump's post-presidency
But what about Professor Tittlecup? Or what was that movie he did where he was the English professor? Remember that one?
I am not a factotum on Michael Douglas. I know a little bit more about Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas did an incredible movie in the 70s about about psychics. Remember that? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, remind me on this one.
He is a psychic investigator, and there's a woman who has psychic powers, but the government wants to get her, like they always do, the deep state. And that's me. I have incredible mental powers, and the deep state wants to get me because I could use my mind to change reality. I could go...
Was this the candidate? What movie was this?
No, I think it was called Psych.
We don't have time to sit here Googling and IMDBing things in my kitchen.
Well, hold on just for a second.
Donald, you're staining my linoleum orange.
That's because I didn't drink enough water last night.
You're dripping through your suit.
Yes.
You came here in a tracksuit with a tie.
Well, here's the problem. I don't get enough water, and then I start making little pisses, and boy, they are tough. They smell like piss-soaked ground. The Fury, that's what it's called, and it's incredible. I mean, Michael
Douglas
is like 72
in it. You were just sitting
in
front of me. How rude. You were sitting in front of me looking up IMDb on my personal Macintosh computer.
Now, you have a Macintosh SE, which isn't even internet capable, so I don't even understand
how
you
have this. That's how I interface with all... Look, I have people print out discs. They print, I don't know how it works, they print out discs for me, I put it on the computer, and I catch up on everybody's email.
Print out discs? What?
They put the information from that day's internet on a little disc.
That's incredibly high tech.
And I put it into my Macintosh SE, and I look at it, and I read it, and I shout to myself, no, bullshit, horseshit, wrong, I say, wrong, and I say, what is this guy doing? And I look, and then from there... Maybe I print it out. Maybe I circle it like I'm writing a letter to the editor. And they handle the rest. Sirota and those guys.
Can I have some of these almond cookies?
Don't touch those.
Please.
Don't touch those.
But they're out.
You're eating.
Ow.
How dare you?
Those are delicious little cookies.
Those were not almond cookies.
What were they?
Those were...
What were they?
Oh, yeah, oh, boy, you really done
it now. Do you need to look it up on IMDb?
No, I don't. I'll tell you where I would look it up, WebMD, but I don't need to because I've been on WebMD so much in the last 6 months that they think that my IP address is untrustworthy.
Wait a minute. I remember this. The only other thing that tastes like almond cookies are throat cysts.
You just ate some laxative cookies that were given to me.
Whoa.
You ate a whole fistful of them.
A fistful of laxative cookies, one of Clint Eastwood's best.
Well, that's been in development hell for years, as I understand.
I wish it would be better than the mule.
It would be better than Richard Jewell, for sure.
I haven't seen Richard Jewell.
Nobody has, but we've all come up with opinions about it.
Yeah, isn't that the one where Kathy Bates is like, I gotta give you my titties for the information.
You were thinking of Cruel Intentions.
Oh, that's a great one. I love that. Hey, you ever wonder...
We're getting all these movies. We really need to get back on IMDb.
No, I got one more question.
Oh, get out of this business altogether.
Do you think that Katie Holmes really resents the widow of Heath Ledger for the career that she's had?
I know, this is a complete non sequitur. What does this have to do with impeachment and the great ideas of this country? Well, Katie Holmes and Heath Ledger?
No!
I think he was a talented
actor. Heath Ledger's widow!
I think he was a talented actor. I thought his performance at Brokeback Mountain opened up some vistas in my subconscious that I had put away in ways that I didn't consciously think about. And I'm a more empathetic person for his work. I think he was the second best Joker after Jack Nicholson, who's a supporter of mine. I don't know what else I'm supposed to think. What? He's a whole Australian. How much do I have to think about an Australian? But I'm sorry the guy died.
Australia's on fire. Whoa, Bernie.
It's because of you.
Greta Thunberg, that's why. Greta Thunberg does too much talking about, you gotta do this.
How can you sleep when the beds are burning? The Australians tried to warn us so long ago, and we didn't listen to them because the accents are impossible.
I'll tell you why. It's because Greta's brother, Hansel, didn't stay in the oven, and the oven lit all of Australia on fire. Hansel and Greta.
I understand what you're doing. I don't know if this is something you would call syncretism, or you're mushing together different narratives.
I like that word.
Syncretism. No, that means when you take mush.
That's Melania calls sex.
Well, it's all you can keep down these days.
The mush mash.
You are either deliberately or accidentally confusing a real human being, Greta Thunberg.
Hansel.
With a famous, the story, the ancient, the fairy tale, the Hansel and Greta with the Trail of Crumbs. I think, however, you may have made a great mistake, or you may have done this deliberately to try to tar the reputation of Greta Thunberg. But I think there may be a useful analogy here. If we imagine her as one of a Hansel and Gretel.
Okay.
I will go with you there.
I always think of her as part of the cast of Dark Crystal.
She has uncovered a tremendously destructive conspiracy coming from the older people and the older generations in this world whose efforts to, lure the younger generations into the home is causing a catastrophe. In our case, in the real world, a climate catastrophe.
Right.
And she is leaving breadcrumbs for us all to follow her and learn that in order to stop the mad, lunatic, older generations in the woods that are destined, that are dead set on killing the children, that we've got to follow the breadcrumbs and take us back to a sustainable, green, forest-oriented worldview. That's the best I can do to stitch those two
together. Excuse me. First off,
marrying two different ideas together pretty well. Hansel and Gretel and Greta Thunberg.
Not as good as mine. Because
yeah, but yours was evil and mine was good.
Mine has a candy house. And everybody loves a candy house.
Evil is always easier than good. That's why I've been frowning since 1948.
Yeah, ask Sheev Palpatine. Sheev Palpatine.
Also, I didn't know that was his first name. I respect him as a senator. He was a colleague of mine. Senator Palpatine was a colleague of mine. We disagreed on most issues. We introduced a few bills together. I'm not afraid to work with Republicans or the dark side of the force should it be necessary.
All I'll say...
In a very limited, strictly interpreted, one issue at a time.
Shifty, Sithy, Sheev has better get...
He's on your side.
Excuse me. We did the briefing on the Iran bombing, which was totally legit, because as I warned everybody 4 years ago about Italian ISIS, and I was proven correct, because we killed General Salami, and General Salami was an incredible threat to Iraq.
Donald, I don't know what kind of gold-plated version of Candyland you are playing in the penthouse that you are living in Mar-a-Lago, but this has nothing to do. You are being racist and also juvenile at the same time, which is not the same thing, but the Venn diagram is Trump.
We have a number of new generals on our hit list. We have General Mortadella, General Capicola Ham. We have General Sausalito
Turkey. I understand what you're doing. It's still racist what
it's
you're doing.
It's called the Boar's Head 10.
General Soleimani was no threat to this country.
Salami.
You did it to distract from the impeachment hearings which are happening, the votes that are happening this week.
No, I did it to kill the other guy who was my money launderer when I did a deal
with
Azerbaijan and Iran.
You did it because you put your hands on the glowing globe with the Saudi royal family members. And you are working for the Saudis, taking out the guys that they're against in the Middle East.
When I touched that globe, I saw the whole of the universe. All time stopped. I was everything and nothing at the same time. I could see the map of the stars, all possible realities, every permutation of existence, and all that extended beyond that. I understood that at one moment we are all the same, and then at the same moment we are all different universes intersecting and affecting each other through our perceptive decisions.
And yet, like a bad prophet, you took that moment of revelation and you came back to this world and decided to make it worse.
No, I took my hands off and went, ooh, that tingles.
You moron. Look, the responsibility of a prophet, someone who is given a great insight into deep knowledge that is not available to most people alive in the country, the living creatures in this world. Their great responsibility is to then become a bodhisattva and go back into the world. Once you've reached this great enlightenment, go back into the world and try to ease the suffering of all creatures. Most, you know, human beings we have the greatest responsibility for. Not to just go, oh, now I know this secret knowledge, I'm going to make myself as powerful as I can.
I find often when I go to bodhisattvas, they never have the type of water I want, the sandwiches are not good, and they always have a cat. And everyone hates a bodhisattva cat.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. Some kind of chain store?
I don't know. The corner stores in New York. Bodhisattvas, right?
Okay, good. All right. Okay, great. Right, okay. You went with the corner store.
I'm hungry. Are you going to make me breakfast?
No, I'm not going to make you breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. I have decaffeinated coffee. I had a heart attack.
Well, that's
I can't.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that you drink chemically treated decaffeinated coffee, which still has caffeine
in it. It's decaffeinated. That's the best I can do.
There's still caffeine in decaffeinated coffee. And secondly,
Donald, you're having strokes in different parts of your body than your brain. Do you have a second smaller brain like a stegosaurus?
Yes, of course. I have many brains. I have two armpit brains.
Like a apatosaurus.
I have a bowel brain. I have a heart brain.
You're talking about a nervous
brain
system.
Brain.
It's putting me on edge.
And I have a brain in the very tippy tip of the hole in my pip.
Look, my breakfast consists, I told you, my breakfast consists of, I goggle apple cider vinegar and shredded statistics that need not be seen by the public. I have a decaffeinated coffee. And I take a laxative cookie, not a fistful of them like you did. I take nibble at half of one or something.
My breakfast is...
And then I eat, around 11 a.m. when I'm in my office, I eat oatmeal on the fly, dribbling it down the front of my suit, and I wipe it off manually with my hand, and then I walk onto the Senate floor and go, we can no longer tolerate this, whatever it is to that day in particular weekend.
I wake up in the morning, I use my skeleton key to sneak into somebody's house and watch them sleep. Then I go back to the White House through the secret entrance. And
where is the secret entrance to the White House?
Oh, the secret entrance?
Where is it?
It's in the National Archive.
So you've been Batmobiling in and out of the White House
you
this
know
whole
the
time.
The second men's room on the third floor of the National Archive?
Sure.
If you pull on the urinal.
The one that usually says out of order. Or you can't take a dump there because it's cold.
Yes. If you pull on the urinal handle really hard, and sometimes you got to pull it with your mouth, a little door opens, and then you go inside, and then all the secrets, all the National Treasure secrets are there. All of them, they got Nick Cage, and everybody's back there, and then you walk by them, and you're back in the White House. And there
They've got Nicolas Cage in the tunnel between the National Archives and the White House.
Yeah.
He's just there flipping out.
He's like, hey, how are you? It's me, Nick Cage.
Yeah, he's there. He's there, and he turns to you.
He's like, ha!
Ha! Ha! Figure this out!
There's secrets somewhere. We need to find them. And I'm like, yo, leave me alone, Nick Cage. Okay?
So he's just part of the, almost like a Disneyland ride as you go through. Yeah,
he's like animatronic. And then they go.
But he's real. You've chained him there.
Yes, and then Reagan built something called It's a Small Government After All. And you get a little boat, and it's like, it's a small government after all. It's a small government after all.
All the characters are white.
All the characters are white, and then you have tons of little brown children spilling into the water around being kicked by the white people.
Well, that's racist, but I'm glad to hear that it's conclusively tied to President Reagan and you.
Oh, the animatronics are like Epcot level. It's pretty bad.
When I'm president, I'm going to crack down not only on that ride underground in Washington, D.C., but also, wherever it is. Structurally, I'm going to crack down on that ride, but also I'm going to crack down on Disneyland itself.
Why?
I think for far too long, the workers, the characters working, Mickey Mouse, Goofy, belching there.
Yeah. You know what? For someone who only had decaf coffee, you're certainly belching like you had a big meal. You're holding out on me, Bernie.
I was eating crackers in bed as recently as 4 a.m. when I went to bed.
Jane doesn't even hear that crunch?
Oh, I cover myself in a lot of pillows and I munch away on crackers until about 4 a.m. and I wake up at 5:30.
Boy, I thought I was sick.
Well, I'm bored. What do you want? I eat crackers and then at about 11 a.m. for the late, the late start in the office, I dribble oatmeal down the front of my door.
My breakfast is an artificial intelligence made pizza, which I then layer with various fish sandwiches from McDonald's, and then I put 10 poached eggs, drizzle it with holiday sauce.
Holiday sauce? Holiday sauce is what they call it at Holiday Inn. The worst continental breakfast you're going to find.
That's exactly the type of holiday sauce I like. I get it sent straight from the Holiday Inn.
You know, you got a resemblance to that kind of shitty muffin that's been in there 4 days when you're in like a Best Western or something.
Thank you. And then I fold it up like a taco and I go, taco time. And I eat it, and I sit on the toilet, and I've got an extra big toilet, so that any of the extra drops in. And then I go, Melania, can you tell what's my duty and what was the breakfast that dropped in the toilet? And it's a game we play.
That's not a game we play, you should say. That's a game you play, and you inflict it upon your wife, your poor wife. We need to liberate her.
We need to stop feeling so sorry for Melania. No, she's just as complicit.
Oh, I look at you. Look at you trying to take... Look at Mussolini trying to make sure that the mistress gets strung up with him. Well, I probably can't say that legally on this podcast. I should reiterate...
Wait a minute. You do a podcast every morning in your kitchen?
My security system is automatically archived as a podcast.
Oh, you got that ring, huh?
It's not a ring. Don't think of it as a ring. Well, it's the lowest end that is available in the ring system.
Oh, it's Nest?
Well, it's a little grass ring.
Oh, yeah.
It's the lowest. It's a very low cost that I can get.
It's Grasshole. Grasshole.
Okay, there you go. Great.
What? That's true. That's a company. It's called Grasshole.
It's a very modest ring. It doesn't cost much. It's just, it's made of, copper.
Does it record?
Made of copper or something.
Does it record all the events in your kitchen like an old Nickelodeon so that it's just a series of photographs, and then when you want to watch it, you have to put your eyes in a little viewer?
Well, I see you're very delighted by that, but yes, and that is the kind of Watergate recording system I plan on installing in the White House.
Wow.
A Nickelodeon system.
You're going to have to hire a live pianist.
I already have a live pianist in my Senate office. When I walk in and I demand that nobody wears any strong colors, so it looks a little bit reminiscent of that sepia tone, black and white, old, what comforts me from my childhood. And I walk into my Senate office, and there's somebody going...
So your office is like an old-time saloon.
And I try to have something comical and physically oriented happen, what they call in Commedia dell'arte, a lotsy. I try to have a lotsy happen every 5 or 10 seconds or something. You drop a stack of papers, you spill something, somebody goes, Senator, and I say, get out of here! And I slam the door, and he falls down the stairs.
You know,
my entire Senate office looks like a Buster Keaton movie.
You know, it's unbelievable because everyone says that I'm a Lotsy sympathizer, but it turns out that Bernie is.
No, what you're thinking of is I'm a Pantalone. That is the Commedia dell'arte archetypical character that I would probably most, you know, a doctor or something if you were the one.
Listen, we all put our Pantalone on one leg at a time, but here's the point.
I do not. In fact, I put my pantalones on both legs slowly at the same time because it's more egalitarian, and I think for far too long the top 1% of the bottom hem of the right leg has been put on a little bit faster than the rest of the pants, and I think it's high time that the entire fabric and seam down the fabric of our society should be put on and enjoy the thrill of going up the legs at the same time with equal opportunity.
So you have to jump up forward to get it over your tushy, because there's no way you can pull it over your tushy if you're leaning back, pulling both pants on at the same time.
No, I'm very... I'm very, if you might say, very attractively shaped. My waist is a size 32.
Oh boy!
My waist is a size. I am as physically fit and attractive as any older man on the beach in a Speedo would ever be when you're on vacation in Florida.
If you were on Epstein's Island, I'd bid for you.
I'm not on Epstein's Island. I'm one of 5 senators that didn't make it down there. And you know this. And this is. I will bring this up in the debate. You are pictured partying with Epstein, and I've never been there.
I love it. Epstein was a great party guy.
So you want to lose.
Oh, his girlfriend, Ghislaine. I mean, what was the bigger giveaway than that? Her freaking name was Ghislaine. It was as if she was just advertising it. Like, hey, you want a jizz? Come over here with Ghislaine.
And you, President Trump, before you were president, but still you as a person, a private citizen, went down to this fuck island where there was a temple to, what was the temple to? Baal? Was the temple to?
Christian Bale.
What was...
So the
temple could heroically lose weight for certain opportunities and then put it back on or whatever.
The temple was to Christian Bale, and it had a big Batman symbol in the center, and Bill Clinton, and everybody was there.
Well, it makes sense, because you're an American psycho. You go down to do your rituals at the temple to Christian Bale.
I had a three-way with 3 13-year-olds, which means they're 39 if you add them all up.
No,
which
that's not how the math works.
Not particularly. I mean, it's not even that young, if you tell ask me. And
that's not how it works, you pervert. And I, look... You are taking it when your kink is taking advantage of people who do not have the ability to say yes for themselves or make adult decisions, you are a monster. And you're lucky that people like me don't believe in the death penalty. The exile into the Firefest Island might be too good for you.
Yeah.
I might have to have you in a cage and publicly displayed for people to spit on and boo for the rest of your life.
Like David Blaine?
Yeah, just like David Blaine in a little display, you know, hanging above Times Square. He's sleeping there, but it's going to be you, and it's going to be open. You're not going to have the glass around you. You're going to be open air.
So I'm just suspended in the
middle
of the air?
With only one little blanket, and you are going, you're going to look,
it's humane. It's going to look like the top of the Sistine Chapel.
It's going to look like the top of the Sistine Chapel, and it will be humane because we're going to have you elevated 30 feet in the air, so that you won't be ripped apart by the people that are going to rip you apart. And you will be booed and poked at and have oranges thrown at your body for the rest of your life. And your hair will look like a mess.
Well, so what's the difference from now? Here's the point. The reason I finally want to tell you why I broke into your house. You're going to do... this impeachment vote, trial
voting for
starts.
I'm voting for impeachment,
today.
Both articles. I don't
think
it's going to go anywhere.
You're supposed to be an impartial juror. You're supposed to be
an
impartial juror.
You're in my house. This is not a public setting.
Bernie, I want you to think about the future. The possibilities are.
What are you doing? You said think about the future like Eckhart in the Batman movie.
I'll tell you why. My dentures are starting to slip out.
Why don't you think about the future, Jack? You're an A1 nut boy, and Grissom knows it.
That's exactly right. And I'm telling you now, you got to think about your origins. Bernie, Who are
Georgians?
You?
Georgians?
Do you
like,
remember who
you are? What do
you
mean, think about Georgians?
Is there possibly a Byrne identity? Is it possible Bernie Sanders has his past?
I love being locked into a yes and matrix with you because now I have to say yes, there is a Byrne identity.
And therefore there'll be a Byrne supremacy.
No, there's not a Byrne supremacy because I don't believe in the sequels because the pun doesn't hold up. But there's a Byrne identity, and when I become president, I will realize that I was sent into this universe as someone to help to preserve human life in an imperfect system and also simultaneously learn to de-escalate the violent nature of that system and approach a world of equity.
What you don't know, Bernie, we were in the same training camp. We were best friends before our memories were wiped.
Okay, this is your theory.
You have to think about this when you voted the impeachment. Impeachment is a waste of time. Come on. If you do the right thing, we could run against each other. And then we'll see.
Against each other. I'm winning. I'm going to win Iowa and New Hampshire Nevada. And then Nate Silver's going to blow his brains out. And then I'm going to win California.
Wait, you can say that, but you can't say string me up like Mussolini?
Well, there's only one person you can't say that about. Yes, I'm going to win 3 in a row. I'm going to win Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada. And then Nate Silver's going to blow his brains out. And then it's Super Tuesday. I'm going to win half of Super Tuesday. And then we're going to win the nomination. The centrists are going to freak out, but they're going to realize that I am like the opposite version, a bizarro mirror image of Ronald Reagan. And they better get on board. I'm a little bit to the left of where the party is. I'm taking it to a new place. There's a new generation. And we are going to take out Donald Trump, and we're going to be like the opposite of Ronald Reagan.
Okay, well, listen, I really got to go. This has been fun, but,
didn't realize you had a heart out.
I got a heart out.
Broke into my apartment.
Yeah, I had a heart out the entire time.
I should stop calling it an apartment. I own this house, which is something that I'm very proud of.
I understand. You're such a socialist, you can't imagine you own anything, but you do.
Well, I've deeded them back to the people of Toontown. You'll be happy to know that I've deeded this house and my other two houses, Rachel Maddow's always going on about. I've deeded them back to the lovable Toons of Toontown.
Well,
in a will that is written in disappearing reappearing.
I understand. I want you to know that when we debate each other, the truth
you're
will
losing
come
it,
out. We will be shrinking.
Oh, you're collapsing. You're right here. Oh, shit. Do you have a life alert button or something?
Help. I'm frozen and I can't get out.
Okay, hold on. Let me try to get in on your life alert. Let me press the damn thing.
Hello, life alert.
This is all Senator Bernie Sanders.
Uh-huh.
I'm not calling for myself.
Sir, could you stop yelling into the phone?
That's a normal, that's how I sound. I'm from Brooklyn. I have to face these allegations all the time from the mainstream media.
Sir, this is the president's life alert. What is the nature of the issue?
Well, is this a... I'm just curious. Is this a life alert button that automatically goes to the President of the United States, so when I win the office, it'll go to me?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. This will one day be my life alert. Well, it's Donald Trump, but he fell down in my kitchen.
Just pour cream into his mouth.
There is...
And then push steak up his rear.
There is a... He's soiled himself. It's not just normal human excrements or urine. There is a puddle of excrement and urine, and it looks like undigested foodstuffs.
Take all the undigested food and put it back in his mouth.
There is a viscous black liquid that is oozing from not only his anus.
Ooh, collect that in a bottle. That's very precious.
Am I speaking to an authorized life alert system? What the hell is this demon?
You are speaking.
Jane!
You are speaking.
Jane! Get out of the house, Jane! Trump, this is not over. I'm voting to impeach you today. I got a message for you. He's squinting away. He's a squid demon and he's walking. You go back to whence you came. I got a message for you, life alert bracelet.
Uh-huh.
Donald Trump is fallen and he won't get up.
Okay.
We are lucky that we got that from an unusual back channel. When God closes one back channel, he usually opens another. And so we got that recording from a Bernie Sanders security system in Washington, D.C. Really great that we're getting these not even meant for broadcast leaks sent to us at the Underculture. We do think of ourselves as a public service, one that is for profit, but also doesn't make a profit. And also, obviously, Donald Trump there was played by the magnificent and lunatic Anthony Atamanik, my dear friend.
Hi, James.
Hi, Anthony. And we have Trump versus Bernie on the Underculture. And
that's
here
right.
It is.
What a magic. What a treat for everybody. God knows that unprepared 45 minutes was a treat.
That's an unprepared 45 minutes, which is basically what we'll be doing on tour.
Double it.
That's true. 45 minutes is way shorter than any of our live shows. Yeah. If you're unfamiliar, we've been doing Trump versus Bernie since 2015.
5 years almost.
Well,
in
just over fall. 4 years.
Oh, just over 4 years, but I like to say five because it feels like five.
This is the fifth year we're entering.
Yeah.
We've been doing Trump versus Bernie since the early days of the 2015 pre-primaries.
October.
Yes. And we did a, how many cities did we do worldwide in the 2016
election?
I think
we election? Did a
30. 30 or 40.
40. I think it's 30 or 40.
And we went to Dublin and
London, Amsterdam,
and all over the country. And we've brought it back. There was a long hiatus, and now in 2019 we were in New York and San Diego and Nashville and L.A.
Yes, our little like warm up tour,
our little warm up one off shows, and now here we are. There's no stopping us. Trump versus Bernie. And if you have any questions, you can go to TrumpVersusBernie2020.com and you can see our old album, our old comedy album on the Comedy Dynamics label,
hosted,
Trump versus Bernie.
Moderated by super fan and friend Howard Fineman.
Uh-huh. The great oracle of the Trump versus Bernie.
He is, right? He predicted it.
Our advisor. And also, he's like our faculty advisor.
Howard Fineman. Howard Fineman, our faculty advisor.
And then also we have three specials we did in 2016 in the space of like 3 weeks.
Yes.
We did all three of these. One of them was Comedy Central and two of them were on Fusion, and they're all up embedded on our TrumpVersusBernie2020.com. And also our tour dates are there.
The highest viewed comedies at midnight online of all of it.
I think it was their highest viewed video.
Yes, we were their like, highest viewed video.
For a long time, it was like Comedy Central's number five highest viewed video. Behind everything ahead of us was a Key and Peele video.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, all right, good company. But hey, here's our tour. I want to tell, well, now that I've got you here.
Yes.
And you guys should know how hard it is to book Anthony Atamanik. He's a jet setter.
Oh, yeah. Well, I live in New York.
He lives.
That's why it's so hard.
No, he's a jet setter. He lives above the clouds.
Yeah. I'm
like Lando Calrissian.
I was going to say like that guy in the Jodie Foster movie where she like goes to the meet her space daddy. Contact.
Oh, Contact. Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan's movie. The guy who's in the plane and then like they destroy the one and then he calls her and he's like, God is like, he's like, it's like his cancer plane. And he's like, I built another one secretly, go there. And then she goes and she drops in the little bubble.
All I remember is that like Jake Busey plays some Christian protesting in the desert, right?
He's the one who blows himself up. And then of course there's McConaughey is like, you gotta believe in God, not just aliens.
How did McConaughey... I said it the original Celtic pronunciation.
McConaughey.
How did Matthew McConaughey get himself into so many space movies? He has nothing to do with space. And when you think of space, that's the last place you go.
Yeah, he's the last.
We need an anachronism to get people's minds smoothed out for nice. Space is going to be a lot like surfing and wave.
Okay.
So look, our tour dates are coming up.
You start with
By the time this comes out, we've already done the Lodge Room in Los Angeles. We've already done the Tempe Improv in Arizona. Sorry.
Yes.
So
January 16th.
Tonight, January 16th, we're in Seattle for Washington Hall.
Then January 18th, we're in Marines Memorial Theater, San Francisco.
Part
at
of
Sketchfest.
Sketchfest in San Francisco. And then Sunday, January 19th, we're in Salt Lake City at Wise Guys, the downtown location.
Which is always wonderful. Then February 9th through 10th, if you are a Politico who is, and not a member of Politico, but...
Certainly don't come if you're
come
a writer
if you're
for
part
Politico.
Of Politico. We'll be at the Shasking Pub in Manchester, New Hampshire for the primaries, where last time we attended the Bernie event, and that was the first time you met Bernie.
Yes. He did. That was me as a member of the crowd going up and shaking him.
Wearing the Bernie wig.
Wearing the early Bernie wig that looked like a mop that had been disassembled.
And the look on his face.
Oh, he was like, what is this guy going to do? That's at the Shaskeen Pub in Manchester, New Hampshire, February 9th and 10th. And then February 23rd, a few weeks later, we're doing our East Coast tour in earnest, and we start out at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House just outside of D.C.
And then we're at City Winery, February 25th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And then after that, it's one night in New City everywhere we go.
Yes.
February 26th, Jersey City, White Eagle Hall.
Great venue, apparently. I've heard nothing but wonderful things.
No, but no venue
about
ever
it.
Tells you, hey, come play our venue. It's a bad venue.
No, other people, not them.
I'd like to book you at my venue. It's bad.
It's a terrible venue.
I won't lie. People hate it.
And then February 27th at Murmur in Brooklyn, New York.
Murmur. If you know it, you know it and you love it. February 28th, we'll be in Providence, Rhode Island at Columbus Theater.
And then February 29th, Space Ballroom, Hendon, Connecticut.
And I believe it's in the New Haven area.
Yes.
And then March 1st wraps up our East Coast tour, this round of it, in Boston, Massachusetts at City Space.
Yes, on Comm Ave near BU, near Boston University.
You're a Boston kid.
Yeah, it's great. And then hopefully we'll do a Midwest jaunt, or at least Chicago.
I think we'll have to play the Midwest. We'll have to play the South. We'll have to do the mountain states. If it
Alaska
turns into a Trump versus Bernie election,
then we'll do all 50 states.
Like we prophesied in 2016. And we didn't really think it was going to happen. But
we were laying the groundwork.
If it happens, Jesus Christ, we really do have to do all 50 states before November.
We got to go to Hawaii. If we go to Hawaii, we should have Tulsi moderate.
We do have a fun time booking some really fun movies.
Yes. And as the show moves along, we'll start, especially on the East Coast, we'll probably be getting maybe some surprise moderators.
Some fictional characters.
character work, inanimate objects. And
it will be moderated by the chair that Clint Eastwood talked to in 2012.
President Obama, I don't respect you.
It was the craziest... You know, that's one thing. Republicans have been crazy for a long time before Trump.
You know why it was good as a chair, because right up until someone said it would be a bad idea, they probably had an effigy of President Obama being racist Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, that would look bad. And he goes, all right, well, then I'll just do it to the chair.
And then he was like, I'll make Richard Jewell to pay them all back.
Richard Jewell is just a vector of revenge.
Yes.
On the
Richard
viewing public.
Richard Jewell's like the story of Sad Fat.
Hey, Tony, when you're not doing Trump, when you're not stunning the world with your Donald Trump satire in Trump versus Bernie and the president show, what else are you doing and where can people follow you and find you?
Well, you could follow me on Twitter, and it's my name. So it's at Tony Atamanik, Atamanuik. Yep.
And on Instagram, it's at
the real actual Tony.
At the real actual Tony.
Oh, I mean, you could see me on What We Do in the Shadows.
Yay!
Upcoming episodes of Search Party.
Yes! I love that show.
And there's a show coming out called The Three Busy Debras, where I play the mayor. And then, of course, my live show in New York, the Manhattan Medium, the mesmerizing world of Lyle Mesmer, where I figured out how to do a variety show where I do characters without having to wear wigs or change costumes by being a mentalist, so I can just channel anybody I want.
Okay, Tony.
It's the laziest comedy show you've ever seen.
That's a great idea. That's almost as brilliant of a workaround as just doing it on a microphone.
Yes. I was like, how can I do a live version of a podcast?
You folks listening to a podcast, maybe you're young or something and podcasts are just normal. You woke up from, you know.
Of course you're young. You're young and you're tight and you're lying in bed.
Don't do that to my audience. Get your hands off of them.
Ooh,
There is an era of comedy 10, 15 years ago where people like me and Anthony Atamanik had to take costumes around everywhere we perform.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still, I'm traumatized from it.
I have trunks and trunks still of wigs, mustaches, different like Prince costumes. I also feel like.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them.
I have like.
Take them to Goodwill.
So many women's dresses. So many different dresses because I really do love playing, women.
And you're not good at it.
No. Although when I did Tootsie, when I did my live Sleep No More version of the film Tootsie called Titsy, I did one
your
of the
shows,
best Michael Dorseys.
Your shows, even on the description, are impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was a great show. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Anthony, you know. Tamanik, I will be seeing you as soon as we get done with this podcast. We're going to go do the tour.
Yeah. I'll be seeing you tomorrow.
I'll be seeing you tomorrow and every day after that for the next 9 months.
Yes.
And then Bernie Sanders' presidency will be our beautiful baby.
Can you imagine? And if that happens, I'm pitching the president show. I'm going to insist that we redo the president show with you hosting it.
Nope. If I get
I can make a lot of money off of that.
Thanks for coming on. That was amazing. That was Trump versus Bernie. Bernie versus Trump. However you want to say it. Trump fears Bernie. Bernie beats Trump. All those are valid hashtags. We were lucky to get that recording from Bernie Sanders' home security system in Washington, D.C. Of course, Donald Trump was actually played by Anthony Tamanik. My friend, he's one half of Trump versus Bernie, as am I. We're on tour. You can catch all of our tour dates at TrumpVersusBernie2020.com. We're in January this week. We're on the West Coast, and in February we're going to be on the East Coast. So check out TrumpVersusBernie2020.com to look for our tour, and also check out all of our past episodes here on the Underculture Podcast at theunderculture.com. Or on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your podcast, you'll find the Underculture lurking. You can also support us. Please do. We pay our guests. We're committed to that. And we only do that because of your help. The people that are helping us, it all goes straight to the guests. And so you can support us on Patreon. That address is patreon.com/theunderculture. Follow us on Instagram at underculturepod and on Twitter at theunderculture. You can find me, of course, at jadomian on most social media, jadomian. And before we go, we have one more little treat. Apparently, somehow, before Donald Trump was kicked out of Bernie Sanders' townhouse before these impeachment hearings, there was a song and dance. There was They got to hating each other so much that they broke out into song. So here it is. Take it away. Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, and the Rolling Stones.
Donald, you're an evil guy, but I do have an odd empathy for you because you are human. And you remind me that evil is something we have to deal with within ourselves.
Well, if you have empathy, turn it into sympathy for me, baby.
I don't know where you're going.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
I didn't know how well this would fit.
I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith.
You're a monster.
And I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure that
Pilates
washed his hands. And sealed his fate.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it's time for a change.
Woo-hoo!
Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Woo-hoo! Anastasia screamed in vain.
That's the only thing where I think they went too far.
I rode a tank out of general's rank when the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies stank.
Woo-hoo!
Please to meet you. Hope you guess my name.
It's Trump. Your name is Trump.
And what's puzzling to you is the nature of my game. Oh, yeah. Watch with glee while your kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made. I shouted out who killed the Kennedys.
Well, that was George Bush Sr.
After all, it was you and me.
I think it was maybe Ted Cruz and George
Let
Bush.
Let me please introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. And I lay traps for troubadours who get killed before they reach Bombay.
I never understood why that was so bad to be included
Leo,
in this song.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name.
It's Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. What's puzzling you is the nature of my game.
The top 10% of the top 1% for far too long has profited on the people like this monster of a president. We will send you back to whatever purgatory you came from.
Wizards, God bless you, United States.
We will pack you back in your dragon's lair like Grendel.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh, yeah. What's confusing you is just the nature of my game. Oh, yeah. Just as every cop is a criminal,
majority.
And all the sinners saints.
I'm not religious.
As heads as tails, just call me
Lucifer.
Because I'm in need of some restraint. So if you meet me, have
how
some courtesy.
Yeah, how you doing?
Have some sympathy and some
I
taste.
I disagree with you on almost everything.
Use all your well-learned politeness, or I'll lay your soul to waste.
You're not gonna do that.
Yeah,
Donald, you're the devil.
Pleased to meet you.
Woo-hoo.
Hope you guess my name.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game.
Oh, I understand. You are trying to win
down
the game of Monopoly by throwing the game off the table.
Because I am always the hat or the little car or the dog. Oh, yeah! Get on down. Oh, yeah! Get on down. Get on down. No. Get on down. Stormy, I paid you a lot of money. Now get down there. Tell my baby, what's my name?
Donald Trump.
Tell me, honey, can you guess my name?
Lucifer, they're interchangeable.
Tell me, baby, what's my name?
Donald John
I'll
Trump.
I'll tell you one time, you're to blame.
No, it's you, Mephistopheles. Mephistopheles.
Tell me, baby.
What's my name, you
what's
bitch?
What's my name?
I'll tell you
tell
what my name
sweetie.
Is.
My what's
name is
my
Bernie
name?
Sanders, and I'm done
ooh,
with hearing your name. Yeah, Bill, you fuck yourself. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Wipe your feet on the way out.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty bad.
What?
It was bad. It was nuts.
I thought it was pretty great.
Even doing a duet with you is like getting dragged down to hell.
First off, I love the movie Duets.
We're not getting back into this, Donald. The song
Gwyneth
is over.
I love Gwyneth Paltrow, and I love that new perfume that smells like a vagina.
You know what?
That's real.
Then you can take your goop and you can get out of my townhouse.
First off, I'm making a new scent. Right now.
Oh, good God.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Dog. Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original Dog. Podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe Dog. To our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get Dog. Your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.